he said. "That's all I need."
"But you haven't brought me the girl," said the Duke. "You promised me the girl, and then it'll all be over, and I can sleep in a real bed, and I won't need any more reflecting magic."
But even a good job can go too far. "You've had your fill of magic," said Lilith sweetly. "You'd like me to stop? It would be the easiest thing in the world. I found you in the gutter. Would you like me to send you back?" His face became a mask of panic.
"I didn't mean that. I just meant, well, then everything would be real. Just one kiss, you said. I can't see why that's so hard to arrange."
"The right kiss at the right time," said Lilith. "It has to be at the right time, otherwise it won't work." She smiled. He was trembling, partly out of lust, mainly out of terror, and slightly out of heredity. "Don't worry," she said. "It can't not happen."
"And these witches you showed me?"
"They're just part of the story. Don't worry about them. The story will just absorb them, and you'll get her because of stories. Won't that be nice? And now shall we go? I expect you've got some ruling to do." He picked up the inflection. It was an order. He stood up, extended an arm to take hers, and together they went down to the palace's audience chamber. Lilith was proud of the Duke. Of course, there was his embarrassing little nocturnal problem, because his morphic field weakened when he slept, but that wasn't yet a major difficulty. And there was the trouble with mirrors, which showed him as he really was. But that was easily overcome by banning all mirrors save hers. And then there were his eyes. She couldn't do anything about the eyes. There was practically no magic that can do anything about someone's eyes. All she'd been able to come up with there were the smoked glasses. Even so, he was a triumph. And he was so grateful. She'd been good for him. She'd made a man of him for a start. Some way downriver from the waterfall, which was the second highest anywhere on the disc and had been discovered in the year of the revolving crab by the noted explorer Guy de Yo-Yo. Of course, lots of dwarfs, trolls, native people, trappers, hunters, and the merely badly lost had discovered it on an almost daily basis for thousands of years, but they weren't explorers and didn't count. Granny Weatherwax sat in front of a small fire with a towel around her shoulders and steamed.
"Still, look on the bright side," said Nanny Og. "At least I was holding my broom and you at the same time, and Magrat had hers. Otherwise we'd all be looking at the waterfall from underneath."
"Oh, good. A silver lining," said Granny, her eyes glinting evilly.
"Bit of an adventure, really," said Nanny, grinning encouragingly. "One day we'll look back on this and laugh."
"Oh, good," said Granny. Nanny dabbed at the claw marks on her arm. Grebo, with a cat's true instinct for self-preservation, had clawed his way up his mistress and taken a flying leap to safety from the top of her head. Now he was curled up by the fire, dreaming cat dreams. A shadow passed over them. It was Magrat, who had been combing the riverbanks.
"I think I've got nearly everything," she said as she landed. "Here's Granny's broomstick and, oh yes, the wand."
She gave a brave little smile. "Little pumpkins were bobbing to the surface. That's how I found it."
"My word, that was lucky," said Nanny Og encouragingly. "Hear that, Esme? We shan't be wanting for food at any rate."
"And I found the basket with the dwarf bread in it," said Magrat, "although I'm afraid it might be spoilt."
"It won't be. Take it from me," said Nanny Og. "You can't spoil dwarf bread." "Well, well," she said, sitting down again, "we've got quite a little picnic, haven't we? And a nice bright fire, and a nice place to sit, and I'm sure there's lots of poor people in the places like Hawonderland and such like who'd give anything to be here right now."
"If you don't stop being so cheerful, Gither Og, I shall give you such a ding around the ear with the flat of my hand," said Granny Weatherwax.
"You sure you're not catching a chill?" said Nanny Og.
"I'm drying out," said Granny Weatherwax, "from the inside."
"Look, I'm really sorry," said Magrat. "I said I was sorry."
Not that she was quite certain what for, she told herself. The boat wasn't her idea. She hadn't put the waterfall there.